Again, we find it needful and necessary this afternoon, Heavenly Father, to thank Thee for that opportunity to look into Your Word, read it, meditate upon it. Such a beautiful day as we have, that the sun would warm our hearts as well as Thy Son can warm our inner man. Through the words of truth and life, we find it a warmth and a beauty to be able to call upon Him, to call upon Thee for our wants and our needs, especially for our spiritual well-being. And so as we look into Thy Word this afternoon, we ask a blessing that only Thou canst give. Use the lips of clay to bring Thy message again this afternoon, and we will promise to give all praise and honor and glory to Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. For our meditation this afternoon, I would like to ask that we read out of the book of Romans, chapter 6, and begin with verse 11.
Nađeno je Rimljanima, 6. glava, početak od 11. broj.
Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. And neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are under the law, not under grace, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether to sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, and being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants of uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As the brother has prayed, that these words would give us the path that we could follow. And I believe that all of the scriptures actually do that for us. And no matter which part of it we might read and meditate upon. But especially this chapter in which we have, partially this chapter which we have read. And the Lord has laid it upon my heart as I thought about this, the first Sunday of a brand new year. And so we got and I was thinking of how it mentions so many places in here about our serving, our using our members as servants of righteousness. In other words, let's do what is right. And so, normally this is a chapter where it's used during a baptismal service. The first part of it reminds us of how we are baptized in the death of Christ and so on and so forth. But then, all too many times, it's not focused on much of what the remainder of this chapter refers to. And that's how we use the members of our body. We learned this morning how sin and how it's so easily sometimes we get into it. And so when we think about our lives and we look back perhaps on the year that went past and the things that we did and the places we were and the things that we may have said, we need to look at that as bygones. And especially if there's incidents in our lives where we were not too happy with the way we were and the way we lived, and the way we perhaps yielded our members as instruments, not to righteousness, but unrighteousness. And so we find in this chapter here that, as he points out, he begins with, it talks here where it says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin." Now, we all know what that means. In the first part of the chapter, it talks about being dead to sin, and then we can no longer live in sin, but then we can be baptized in the likeness of Jesus Christ. But first of all, we must need to be dead to sin. And so he's talking about that here again. And he's saying, "Reckon ye selves indeed to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord." So you see, we start this new year now, and we need to refresh our minds and our memories and our maybe readjust our lives, if you will, and some of the things that we are not happy with what happened last year. We look at a new year. Let's begin a new year, and let's look at the righteousness that God expects of us in this coming year. And it's all written in God's Word. Black and white. As the brother prayed, it's a path for us to take. And that's what he's referring here to here about us. So it says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey the lust thereof." Now we all know what he's talking about here. If we look into the seventh chapter of Romans, he talks about the battle that we've oft-times mentioned and read about and understand, that there is a battle that goes on. Flesh against the spirit all the time. And we're warding off the temptations and the things that Satan offers to us to avoid sin, and sometimes we have a very difficult time of doing that. But if we reflect back to the fact that we are, those of us that are converted, we are to be dead to sin. And we use our members as instruments unto righteousness. And so that's why he says here, "Neither yield your members as servants, as instruments as unto unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, that those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments unto righteousness unto God." You see, we've been quickened, if you will, made alive. How is that? When we were baptized. Old man buried, dead and buried, we arose as a new creature. We should be now alive unto his doings, unto his will, as we heard this morning. Forsaking our will to his will. That's what it means to yield our members as instruments of righteousness. And that's how we begin, with our will, our very will, submitting it to him. We no longer have our own will. We're to do his will. And we read that. Christ taught that. Christ did that himself. He set the example for us. He said, "I came to do my Father's will, not mine." And he did. Whatever the Lord, whatever God told him to do, that's what he did. Heal the sick, the blind, it didn't make no difference. Whatever God told him to do, he did. And that's exactly the exact same way you and I are to be like he was. Whatever he wills for us, we need to do. That's what it means to yield your members as instruments unto righteousness. So then what does it mean then to unrighteousness? What kind of unrighteousness are we talking about? Well, if we go back into Galatians, for an example, the fifth chapter of Galatians talks about, it says, "For the flesh lusteth after against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Now, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." These are instruments of unrighteousness. When we yield to these temptations which Satan has given us, and the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, made it very plain and clear, what are the things of the flesh? Those are the things that you and I can have a tendency to yield our members to these very sins. But he goes and adds on. But he said, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Of such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. If ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So you see, the scripture is full of the path in which we are to lead, and exactly how we're to yield our members of instruments, as instruments, not unto unrighteousness, but to righteousness. And so we have a new year to begin this. We have a new year to start. We can look back on the things. You know, I think of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Philippians, and he said, "Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but these things I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So you see, we look back, 2018's gone. Forget it. Look forward. Press toward the mark. And as we press toward the mark, that's the thing that we're to do. Yield our members as instruments of righteousness. In other words, let's do what is right. How do we know what is right sometimes? What does the scriptures say that we should do? It's found in Colossians. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." This is yielding your members to righteousness. And it's black and white. Read it, understand it, let it sink into your heart, deep into your mind, and be led of the Spirit. You know, if we claim to have the Holy Spirit, As we heard this morning about claiming to be a Christian, then we need to exercise righteousness in our lives. Whatever that righteousness may, however it entails in our lives, this is what we're to do. Make no mistake about it. It doesn't imply that we're going to get to heaven because we have done righteousness. No. But it does bring glory and honor to our Heavenly Father. And if we are not going to submit our will to His will, we're not going to glorify Him. And if we don't do things that are right, which is our righteousness, and it talks about much righteousness, the Psalms talks about how God will honor those that are righteous. All of that pertains to our life, to our living, what we do, what we say. And this is how we're to live. And so he makes it very plain and very clear to us that righteousness is of a necessity in our lives. And knowing again that it's not going to get us to heaven, but it does bring honor and glory. The only righteousness that we have is in Jesus Christ that will get us into heaven. And that's believing, trusting, like we learned this morning. Don't have any doubts. Believe, trust in Him. That's what we have to do. Every little aspect of our lives, we believe, we trust. That's yielding ourselves to Him. That's yielding our will to His will. By the way, we believe and trust in Him and obey His word. Exercise the things that we have read about here in our lives. That's the righteousness. That's what we do, which is right. And anything less than that, it becomes sin. And we know sin, there's nothing sin, no sin that brings honor and glory to our God. No sin whatsoever. You can't. It just don't. It won't. And so we are expected to do, as he says here, righteousness. As he says there, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Referring to the law of sin and death, we're not under that law anymore. We have been converted. We're not under the law like, and he had so much of a problem with the Jewish people in Rome that they wanted to be under this law. And he had to teach them oftentimes, you're not under the law anymore. You got to be led of the Spirit, which they oftentimes had difficulties to understand. And maybe there are some here today don't understand it. I don't know. Is it so hard to understand what it means? Yes, probably, if you're unconverted. It probably is hard to understand. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Do you realize that the only reason that any of us have come to the church today was because the Spirit has led us? You wouldn't have come if the Spirit had not led you to be here, converted or unconverted. Now, the difference is when we become converted and the Spirit not only is with us, but is in us, it directs our lives, it teaches us, and it helps us to do what is right. If, in fact, we submit our will to His and we're obedient to His word. It's as simple as that. There's no complication to this kind of life. Not at all. All it takes is obedience, submission, put your will out of the way, and obey Him. So you see, as he goes on to say that many of us have done this, he says, But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, and ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So you see, thank God for all of us here that have obeyed that from the heart. What have we obeyed? We have simply obeyed His word. Where He taught us, as He taught Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. That's a must. There's no way out of that. There's no other way. That's why he told Nicodemus this. And so we have obeyed that doctrine. We have obeyed from the heart. We have been taught this. We learned this. And so we wanted to pursue it. And so as a result, many of us have surrendered our will to his. We have bowed ourselves. We have asked for forgiveness. We have repented. We have made right where we was wrong. And we have obeyed the word, submitted ourselves to him, and allowed him to direct and teach us. This is the meaning of being led of the Spirit. And as a result, we have learned to do what is right. But we are encouraged in his word, time and time again, continue in this. The Apostle Paul writes even, examine yourself, see if you're in the faith. Why do we got to do that? Because Satan will try to distract us. He'll try to draw us away. And the next thing you know, we're yielding ourselves, our instruments, our members as instruments of unrighteousness. Examine yourself. Are we doing this? I have to examine myself all the time. That's why we put our trust and our cares upon him, that he will guide and direct us the ways in which we have failed, where we have failed, and what we need to do to correct that failures. That's life. And we have to do it on a daily basis. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. What do you mean by that? That means that he had somehow done what wasn't maybe pleasing in the sight of God. And so he had to die to that daily. So Christ said, take up the cross and follow me daily. What does that mean? That means do what is right. Do what is right in his sight. Especially honoring him, living for him, serving him. Be kind one to another. There's a list of things that how we ought to live our lives, how we can bring glory and honor and praise to our Heavenly Father. That's the reason we become his children. And if you want to do that and you don't know how, seek counsel. Seek counsel. There's ministering brothers, even brothers and sisters, be more than glad to help you understand some of these things if you don't know, or if you're in doubt, or if you're questioning. Anybody that is a child of God can direct you in the right path, but you have to be willing. You have to want, you have to have the desire, you have to have that deep commitment that you want to serve the Lord. And all of us, the believers that have been born again, we have had to make that commitment that we want to serve him the rest of our lives. In fact, we sat up here in front of the congregation and made that commitment. How long do you want to serve the Lord? The rest of my life. And like my sister said one time, how long do you want to serve the Lord? She says, as long as I'm obedient to the Spirit. And that's exactly right. As long as we are willing to be obedient to the Spirit, that's how long we're going to serve the Lord. When we don't feel like we need the Spirit, or we don't want to hear, we don't want to listen, we're going to yield ourselves to other things, you're not going to be obedient to the leading of the Spirit. Satan will see to that. So you see, we take these words here, even as he says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity, even so yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So you see, we reflect back on those things that we once did, and now we're ashamed of them. Let me be the first to admit, ashamed of the things that I did to my Lord and my Savior before I was converted. Don't even want to talk about it. There's that much shame in it. But now, after obeying from the heart, that form of doctrine which I have learned, and it all comes through his word. I have yielded my members as instruments of righteousness. All the time, I would only be fooling myself if I said yes all the time. Because you see, we read in John where it talks about if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. You see, we do fall. We do failure. But let us look back on the old year and look on the new year, and let us strive to serve our living God from the depths of our hearts with a deep commitment once again. And sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we have to kind of recommit our life because we have become lax. Maybe it's in our prayer life, maybe it's in our reading, or maybe it's in our church attendance, or maybe it's in all three. Whatever it is, we can become lax. And as a result, yielding our members of servants to unrighteousness. We cannot afford to let Satan take a hold of our lives. We got to battle him all the time. We got to avoid his temptations, yield ourselves to God. That's why in James it tells us, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. And that's what we can look forward to the new year. Let's look forward to drawing nigh to our God wherever we have failed, perhaps someplace down the line. And so, as we can see here, then he reminds us that, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. And that's the dream, that's the hope, that's the promise that every child of God has, that we one day will spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. But we have to have fruit unto holiness in order to be that way. Can we be saved by works? It's only by the grace of God that we're saved. But we can do what is right, bring honor and glory to our God. Because you see, the wages of sin, as he says here, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We got a choice to make. You want wages or you want the free gift? Choice is yours. Choice is mine. Do I want to yield my members of unrighteousness? The choice is mine. Unfortunately, sometimes our choices are not what God wants. Maybe all too many times. If that was the case in 2018, then we need to turn it around, look to 2019, make the changes, the adjustments in our life, and serve our God with all righteousness as much as possible lies within us. We all want that free gift, not interested in the wages of sin, because you see, that is death. My friend outside of Christ, if you don't make a decision, rest assured what your wages are going to be. Choose the wages or choose the gift of God. God bless these words upon our heart.
Paul says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it, he said, to obtain a corruptible crown. But we do it for an incorruptible crown. He says, so I run not as, I therefore run not as uncertainly. And I fight not as one that just beats the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So he's saying that a runner knows what he has to do. He brings his body under subjection. No, you're not going to eat that. You're going to train like this. Because that's what it takes to win a corruptible crown, one that's going to fade away. And men do it. So they don't open up a bag of fried potato chips and lard and they smell it. Oh, I wish I could enjoy this. They keep it away from themselves. They don't even tempt themselves with it. It's out of the way. You can't do that because they have a goal. And so he says, and when I run, I don't run uncertainly. When I fight, I don't just beat the air. What does he do? What he tells us here to do, what we read together. Yield yourselves unto God. You bring yourself unto subjection of unto God. As Brother Bob quoted in James, submit unto God and resist the devil. Once we yield unto God, we unleash the doors, open the doors, and unleash the Spirit. And the devil has to flee. He said he will flee from you. But if we're toying with it, if we're not in subjection, so when we bring ourselves into subjection, that means my eyes have to be in subjection to the Holy Spirit, who I have yielded myself to. My eyes cannot look and look and lust. No, can't do that. Just like the runner can't take this cake, nice chocolate creamy cake, and look at it and I'm not going to eat it. You stay away from it. You don't yield your thoughts. You don't yield anything because you've yielded yourself unto God. So don't yield yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. To yield unto him is to be free from sin. He makes us free. He makes us free. So let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. Ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Man was created to have dominion, but he yielded that sovereignty to Satan. We now, through Jesus Christ, can have victory over Satan. But we have to yield ourselves, submit ourselves. My will is no longer mine. More of what we heard of this morning. Yielding ourselves over unto Jesus Christ. And when the Son, Jesus Christ, makes us free, we will be free indeed. Amen.